Today's scripture reading comes to us from the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 20 through 25. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, as I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" He said to him, "You have said it."
You know, early in the life of Jesus, his ministry, he began to make statements concerning his death, his upcoming death on the cross. In John chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, Jesus, of course, was speaking to the Jews here, and he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And after Peter's confession in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus began to reveal to his disciples just how he would die. He began in verse 21, he said, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and raised the third day." And as he goes to Jerusalem during the final week of his life, he took the disciples aside, and he tells them again about what is waiting for him in Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 20, beginning of verse 17. "Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to him, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priest and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again.'" And then he met with the disciples to eat the Passover feast. And then he added a new element to this story. He said, "One of you will betray me." That was so sad, to know that one of his very own people, those who were the closest to him, would be the one to betray him. Judas had already made the deal. He went to the chief priest in Matthew chapter 26. In verse 14, and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. Now, when Jesus made this statement to his disciples that one of you will betray me, it was an emotional shock to them. They had followed their Lord for 2.5 years. They had listened to his teachings. They had seen his miracles. They knew what a wonderful man Jesus was. And to think that it would be one of them that would betray him, that would turn him in and cost him his life. And so the disciples, one by one, began to ask, "Lord, is it I?" Each one of the disciples were personally concerned that there was some weakness in them that would cause them to turn against their Savior. It is also interesting to note that no one suspected Judas. They were all asking for themselves. And you know, even Judas himself, in verse 25 of Matthew 26, also asked the question, "Lord, is it I?" Perhaps this was an attempt to hide his plan. Perhaps he thought, well, Jesus is only guessing. He really don't know. But it's interesting that he asked the question as well. I'm bringing this story to you today because I believe that there are times in our life when we need to ask the question, Lord, is it I? Am I the one who have done certain things that can hurt the church? Am I the one who have caused Christianity to weaken in our neighborhood, in our home, in our society? You know, Paul actually tells us this is something that we need to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul tells us, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. It is that becoming disqualified that really bothers me. To know that God had the love to send his son to this earth, to give his life a ransom for me, to make it possible for me to be saved, to make it possible for me to be redeemed, to make it possible for me to have my sins forgiven. Lord, is it I that have hindered this process? So today, we are going to ask the question, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I who would deny the Lord by being unfaithful to him in our lives? Now, we all know that poor conduct of someone who professes to be a disciple of Christ can result in the Lord's cause being blasphemed. We know that if we have poor conduct as a Christian, we can cause tremendous damage to our Lord and to his church. I want you to listen to something Paul said in Romans chapter 2. Let's begin reading with verse 21. He is writing to the Christian Jews in Rome. He said, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? And you say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. As it is written. Does this sound familiar? Do we not look around the church today and we look around religion today in general and we find these very same things happening within us? And we tell everybody, don't do this, don't do that, live this way, live that way, and yet we refuse to do it ourselves? Paul is saying, look, you condemn improper actions of other people. But yet you are doing the very same thing. Unfortunately, many Christians do return to the corruption of the world. And they practice these things which are not fitting for saints. We do need to take heed of such things. And it's just as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Let him, therefore, who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. Because the fact is, anyone can fall. In fact, I'm talking to a group of people today who everyone has fallen at one time or another in their lives because we are all coming short of the glory of God at one time in our lives. We've all done it. And we will all probably do it again in our lives. And in doing so, we could have very well placed a negative influence of Christianity on the life of someone else. Lord, is it I who would deny you with an unfaithful life? Lord, is it I? When my Bible study or my Bible classes are not profitable? You know, one of the greatest opportunities of building up the church is through our Bible class program. Greater learning takes place when we are able to sit down and discuss the Bible questions that are before us, when we are able to seek answers to the difficult things of our lives and make personal application to our lives from the studies that we make from the Scripture. Now, you all know that in my Bible class teaching, that I will take a 13-week study and I will turn it into 6 months, maybe even a year. And I do that intentionally because I want us to be able to explore everything about a subject. I don't mind chasing rabbits. In fact, chasing rabbits brings out thoughts and ideas that will never show up in the book. I want us to thoroughly study God's Word and have a better understanding of what it says to us. And if I need to stretch out a Bible class to do that, I will. You know, there are two things that are essential to having a profitable Bible class. First, there is preparation. You know, a teacher can only teach that which he knows. Regardless of the ability or the knowledge of a teacher, if no preparation is made, then it's going to hurt the class. And the same thing is true with the student. Preparation is more than just filling in the blanks of your book or hurriedly reading through the verses, looking for the answer, and then moving on. We must take time to meditate upon God's Word. We need to take time to associate ourselves with the subject that we are studying so that we can develop a broad reasoning and understanding of what God's Word is actually saying to us. We need to form questions about what we do not understand and make application to those questions when we learn the answers. Now, there's not only preparation involved in this, there is also participation in this. We have good participation in our classes, in my Sunday morning class, for example. We did today. And I really appreciate that. Y'all have heard me say many times, the more y'all talk, the less I have to. And I appreciate your comments in class. Our mind needs to be alert. We need to be willing to ask the questions, to make comments, to investigate with the intention of getting a broader knowledge and understanding of God's Word for us. Because remember, if we're not growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what are we doing? We're dying. If you're not growing, if you're not moving forward, you're stepping backward. And we need never step backward as a child of God. Lord, ask yourself this. Lord, is it I? When Bible class is not profitable? Then we need to ask ourselves this. Lord, is it I when we receive little from our worship service? You know, worship services, unfortunately, give us ample opportunities to complain and whine about things that we don't like. And I have to say this. I have never been to a congregation where this didn't happen. Story is told of a family who was coming home from church one Sunday morning. Soon as they got in the car, Mom and Dad get started in. Oh, I wish that preacher wasn't so dry. He is so long-winded. He could have said all he said in half the time. You'd think after all this time we could get us a good preacher. Oh, the song leader. Can you believe that song leader? How can we rejoice bringing in the sheaves when we drag that song so slow by the time we get to the sheaves are already rotted out? And it's one thing after another. We don't like the man leading the prayer. We don't like to take the bread from the communion because it's usually stale. and on they go, whining and complaining. They had a little boy in the back seat with them, listening to every word. And when they finally finished their whining and their complaining, this is what he said. He said, "Well, I don't know. I thought it was a pretty good show for a dollar." Which tells you in one way how much they put into their worship. You know, my friends, if you're going to get anything out of worship, you're going to have to put something into it. And I'm not talking dollar bills here. You have got to have a desire. And I just wondered today, and I want to ask the question, I dare not ask for a show of hands. Who wanted to be here this morning? Did you get up with a thought in mind, "Oh, this is day we get to go to worship. I get to be with my Christian family. I get to serve God. I get to worship God. I get to praise God." Or did you think, "Oh, no, church again"? And in many cases, when you say, "Oh, church again," you stay home. And you leave God out for that week. And if you're not careful, you'll leave him out the next week. And the week after, until pretty sure, pretty long, God is completely out of your life. You know, in addition to honoring the Lord, we should be one that makes our worship better. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Paul was dealing with this even in the days of the early church. People were whining and complaining about the worship that is taking place even there. And this is not for the better. You're damaging the church. You're destroying the church. You're making it worse than it is. Obviously, the church of Corinth is having issues of discontentment. And sometimes we do too. When we should be drawing nearer to God and building each other up. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together? Each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." Did you get that? When we sing, when we teach, when we use our every gift that God has given to us, are we edifying each other? Are we honoring God in the process? We need to prepare ourselves to do that. Body and mind must be alert. You know, God is a spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that includes being distracted from things that are able to take God out of our mind and out of our lives. Lord, is it I when these things happen? Lord, is it I when the unity of the church is threatened? Now, this can also be a result of murmuring and complaining. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is mentioning some things that hindered the children of Israel and caused them to fall away from God. And we need to learn from their examples in what they did and not do that as children of God today. Let's read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's begin with verse 6. "Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell." Because of their disobedience. "Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer." Who's the destroyer? God. "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Now, Paul is not talking about people who deliberately went against God. He is talking about people who just simply became dissatisfied with what they were having to do. They were dissatisfied with their loyalty. They were dissatisfied having to love God. And they began to murmur about these things. And we need to realize, folks, just how deadly and destructive it is when we complain and murmur about godly things. And yes, it happens here. It has happened everywhere I have ever been. As far as I'm concerned, it's probably happened at every congregation of the Lord's church on this planet. Because we find things to complain about. Is it I? When unity is damaged at this church? Lord, is it I when someone else is about to be overcome by discouragement? Tell me, what do we do when we see a brother or a sister becoming discouraged? When we see someone burdened down with sin, what do we do? Do we do like these three on the screen? Do we find a little corner and we get in a corner and we talk about them and we literally chew them up and spit them out? I've seen that happen so many times. The Apostle Paul said, no, we help them. We encourage them. We are to be that hand that is to reach out to them. We are to be that shoulder that they can lean on. We are to be that strength when they are weak. We talked about the stones this morning and Christ being the chief cornerstone. And we are stones that build up this church. We are to be the stone that stands firm for those who are not standing firm. To encourage them, to help them be what they can be in Christ. Paul said Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, Cain once asked the question in Genesis chapter 4, and we have been repeating this question ever since. Am I my brother's keeper? And the answer to that question is yes. We are our brother's keeper. How do we respond to the burdens of other people? Do we respond with indifference? Do we respond with the attitude that, oh, this person, he's responsible for himself? Do we respond by saying, well, they should have known better? Answer me this. Have you ever done anything in your life when you knew better? I'll raise my hand to that. We must understand. Our duty is to encourage, not discourage. This is not a request. This is a commandment of God. So many situations where we need to stop and ask ourselves, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I that is the problem with Christianity not growing in my life? Lord, is it I that is causing Christianity not to grow in other people's lives? Lord, is it I that through my life I am being a discouragement to the church and it is not growing and being what it needs to be? How do you answer that question this morning? When you look at yourself in the mirror and you see the way you really are, and mirrors don't lie. Do you see someone and you have to ask this question with a negative result and you know it's going to be negative when you think it? Or maybe you get to stand there and look in that mirror and you see encouragement. You see godliness. Oh, and that's a wonderful thing. And I hope that's what we all do. This morning, my friends, if you are not a Christian, you need to ask yourself, Lord, is it I that is on the road to destruction? And the answer to that is yes. Today is the day, my friends, for you to give your life to the Lord. Today is the day, my friends, for you to obey the gospel of Christ and be a part of His family, His kingdom. And it is a forever place. And you can have that today if you will give your life to Him. It may be that you're sitting here this morning and you are a child of God and you've listened to some of the things that I have had to say this morning and you're looking and you're asking that question, Lord, is it I that I am guilty of some of these things? Lord, is it I who has let the world back into my life? Lord, is it I that have lost the love of Your Word in my life? Lord, is it I who have lost worshiping You, the love of worshiping You? Lord, is it I who no longer stand united with the brotherhood and no longer care about other people as they are weak? Lord, is it I who are causing the problems of this church? And if you have to answer yes to any of this, it is time for you to look in that mirror and see yourself as you are and make the changes that you need to make. So you can say, Lord, it is I who love God. Lord, it is I who want to serve God. Lord, it is I who will hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Welcome into the joys of thy Lord. That's what we want, isn't it? So we need to be sure that we do the things that we will receive that. So as we sing this invitation song, Lord, is it I? Ask yourself that. Come if you need while we stand and sing.